time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. From the class of 1994, I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to detail, and also known as my little brother, Sammy D. Sammy D, welcome in to a very special Two Ramblers podcast.
Yeah, special because we're way behind. But
yes, it's a midweek podcast here.
Midweek podcast.
But
so excited to be here. We're two wins last week.
Number Love one it. In the A-10.
I mean,
we're number one in the A-10, number one podcast, fan podcast in the A-10. And yeah, loving it. It is truly, truly, truly a wonderful time to be a Rambler. That was the echo across Twitter. And it is definitely true in our household and as well as yours. But it is good time to be a Rambler.
Yeah, I was just getting ready for this podcast today, and I was watching some of the clips of them after the Roadie game, the Rhode Island game, and I was like, am I biased, or is this like just an incredible team to be a fan of? Like, there's so many likable guys, and they just seems really positive. Like, it is really hard to hate on any Rambler or to even to not love each guy.
The thing I've been, I don't know if troll is the right word, but just perusing the Twitterverse of, the St. Louis crowd, the Dayton crowd, VCU, and they're all just kind of like shaking their head like, I didn't see this coming. And I hate to admit it, but that team's good. Like, they want to poke holes and they want to, dump on us and dump on the Ramblers, but they're just like, they're good. And again, we said this a few weeks ago in the pod. This is the team that everybody, all fans of the A-10 did not want to see. But the administration of the A-10 did, because this would elevate the league. And it's coming to roost.
Yeah.
And it not only on the court, but also in recruiting this last week was a big, big wins. And so, yeah, really exciting time to be a Rambler.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about a perfect storm. I mean, we're top of the A-10. We've got a lot of shine. I mean, you saw the Andy Katz top 35. We cracked that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I got mid-major 25 mid-major top 25.
Yeah, Andy Katz put out some, his 35 teams to watch, and we were 35th on the list. Dayton's on the list, but none of the other A-10 teams are on the list. And so there's these A-10 teams are still hanging on to their net rating. I almost said dot net rating, their dot net rating and their dumb Ken Pom rating. And it's like, dude, no one cares about that. Like, seriously. You win six games in a row in our league, you gotta take your hat off to it. Sorry, you won. What have we won? 11 out of the last 13 or something.
13 to 15.
I'm sorry, 13 out of the last 15. You won 13 out of 15 games in, competitive D1 basketball, and like you're gonna point to our UIC loss from earlier this year. It's not the same team. UIC, yeah. If we played UIC now, we'd win by 30.
Right.
Tulsa, I don't know. I don't know how Tulsa just came out of nowhere.
They hit lights up. I mean, they had an on night. We had an off night.
Yeah. So
what are you gonna do?
So, but seriously, I mean, it's ridiculous. We were we've been undervalued by those metrics, and it's showing up on the court. And I think at some point the record and what people see with their eyes starts to override any sort of dumb dot net rating.
Here's another one. We beat Central Michigan by almost 40 and they're the number one team in the MAC. What was another one that I thought was really fascinating? You know, the Boston College one still is holding up there as a big one.
Well,
you know, it,
I just think, I mean, we're, you know, we beat St. Joe's twice and we're behind them. And here's what I want to ask you. You, let's say it's Selection Sunday, let's say for some dumb reason, St. Joe's and Loyola are on the block together. You got to pick one. Do you see these selection committee guys going, well, that one's higher in the .net. Let's take them. You can get a Loyola Ramblers team that has already been in the tournament, made noise, a pedigree. You got Sister Jean, you got the scarves, you got the whole ready-made story. Yeah, you got a team that's playing great together, a team that went worst to first. You can have that team, or you can have this other team that lost twice to Loyola. And by the way,
the radio guy may have something to do with, you know, the projections.
Whatever, yeah, it's just ridiculous.
But the on-court team. Yeah,
what's that guy's name? I don't even know his name.
Joe Lunardi.
Yeah, the Joe Lunardi, who they interviewed during our game as we were beating them. So anyway, I just think it's hilarious that if you put us head to head against some other mid majors, we're gonna shine in terms of the way we, you know, our name recognition, and maybe that's not enough to get an at large, but if there's a team that could get an at large out of our league, it would be us right now. Maybe Richmond.
I don't know about Richmond. Obviously Dayton is, you know, they're high in the net. They're 19. Richmond, at last check, I'm scrolling, I think they were in the 70s. Pause for a moment. Yeah, 71. But they don't have any signature wins other than beating Dayton, which is a good win, but I don't, they're non-conference. And the reason why Joe's is still so high is because of who they've, I mean, they did beat Princeton and Villanova, so it's like they had some quality wins.
Right. I hear that.
But in conference, they just have been abysmal.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they don't pick people who had great wins in the non-con who flopped in their conference league. It doesn't work that way. The overall record's going to speak for itself, and I don't know.
I always heard this. I mean, when we were younger, it was always like, "What are you doing in your last 20 games? You know, or your last 10 games?" And I think that's going to speak volumes to what Loyola brings to the table when it comes to the tournament. Yes, their net may not be totally glamorous, but I mean, we'll see in the next week when they play their top two opponents in the net when they play Dayton and Bonaventure. But as I look right now, Loyola is now a top 100 team. They're now 99. And St. Joe's, ironically, is 98. So
not for long.
Not for long.
I mean, let's say we could belabor this point, but great team to follow this year. Almost a magical season in terms of how you couldn't even write this story. I mean, we were talking about, hey, it'd be great if we were, I said we would be great if we were 50-50 in Atlantic 10 this year. And to be so, you know.
Yes. Many people across the board, even Rambler fans, all said 10-8 would be ideal. And 9-9 would be okay. That'd be good because of where how low we were last year. I mean, again, they won four games in conference last year. This team that they just throttled at Rhode Island, they lost to at home. You know, that was, everyone thought, oh, we beat Rhode Island. No, we didn't. We lost to them very late. And so it's just like we got embarrassed last year. Or as I love the phrase that you use quite often, we got ragdolled. And then to be at the point where we're at, 11-2 in conference, number one, and looking like we're a shoe-in for the double bye, and then really having realistic expectations that winning the championship, no one thought that.
We've clinched a bye, right? For sure.
Yes.
We clinched a bye, and then do we clinch a double bye with another win or something like that? I think we're...
I know we're close. I was looking at the standings because now the top, with VCU's loss last night, which was huge, they now have a 2-game lead over the number 4 seed and a 4-game lead over the 5 seed at this point. So I think it depends on what happens tonight, May, and also this weekend. I think kind of will solidify. They win on Saturday, they will definitely be in the double bye.
That's great. I mean, to go from the pillow fight to the double bye, love it.
Someone will have to correct me. I don't think that's ever happened. I honestly don't. I mean, I can recall ever hearing anybody doing that in the A-10. I could be completely wrong.
All right, well, let's roll back the clock and talk about the It's All a Blur Tour, Valentine's Day, St. Joe's game. Now, did you get to watch this one live, or did you watch it on Memorex on tape? Memorex. Is it even Memorex? I don't even know. Do they even tape anything anymore?
You know, I was still wondering if they do videotape. No, I think it's all digital. No. No, I did have to watch it on Memorex, on demand a little bit. Because we had stuff going on with the girls for Valentine's. We went out to dinner. It was nice. And then I was, Emma had youth group, so I was transporting students back and forth. But yes, was able to watch a portion of it and then watched it in depth later on. But so... enjoyed it all the way. And I loved, again, this was a game, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but just back and forth, the swings. Loyola had a huge swing out. I mean, 14-0 run to start the game. And you thought, oh boy, here we go to win by 30. But then they have those guards that are just like quick and fast and can shoot. And they had their own 14-2 run come back. And then it was kind of back and forth. And then they ended up taking the lead at the half. And then Loyola, you know, pretty much jumped out right at the beginning of the second half and then salted the game away. So, but you were there with Coach Van, the bro date. And so what, tell us sights and sounds. It was the big, huge line out front. Everyone thinking they were going to get a sweatshirt and only 200 did. So sights and sounds, Dabber, what'd you see? What'd you hear?
Well, obviously we got there over an hour before game time, and the line had to have been at least 500 kids when we got there. So wow. Everyone wanted a sweatshirt. I was not able to get a sweatshirt. I brought two $50 bills to the game, and I got one offer for a sweatshirt for $150. And I said, hey, I wouldn't give Drake $150 for his sweatshirt. So one of these young entrepreneurs, I guess, was trying to... I said, hey,
you overestimated the market.
I said, you got that for free, dude. It's like, relax. yeah, I don't understand why they couldn't make 500 of those things, to be honest, or more.
Well, no, they had to spend their budget on hockey jerseys given out today. Like, man, I want a hockey jersey.
Ugh, hockey jerseys. Yeah. Andrew Ragas wears a hockey jersey to games. And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that look. It doesn't look good on me. It looks like I'm wearing a muumuu. But anyway, it kind of looked like Homer, you know, Homer when he was like overweight and he was wearing like the house 90s dress. 90s
callback.
I don't even have that on the board right now. We got there, we went to Bruno's beforehand. You know, basically the only place you can get dinner now on Sheridan Road is Cane's and Bruno's. Yep. So we had the Cane's and Bruno's combination. which was fine.
Did they blow out a window at Bruno's to, you know, so you could walk up to Canes?
That would be great. No, wise. Actually, and I was having trouble getting the Canes app to work, so I had to get off my bar stool and walk over and get Canes from Canes.
Do it old school.
I had to order it. Yeah, but they got it done in like 5 minutes. So nice. Here was a funny thing that happened though at the bar. This is total bar etiquette, Bruno's style. We walk up, me and Coach Van, there's two seats at the bar and there's a guy who's just got there. So it's like, there's, you know, we need one extra seat.
Right.
And we kind of, the guy who just got there before us ordered, and then me and Van ordered, and we were trying to get a seat. And actually the guy who ordered the beer went to get another bar stool. Bartender turns to me and goes, "All together?" I go, "Sure." I was thinking he was talking about me and Van, but right. You know, I give him a 20 and he gives me back like $4. And I'm like, Guinness guy, I guess his got added to my tab. Well, he was a guy by himself on Valentine's Day with a Ramblers hat. I guess he was going to the game.
Right.
And so I'm like, what am I going to do? Make the bartender look back? No, actually, that's my. I need. He needs to pay $5. And, you know, like I just. What am I going to do? I don't want to look like a jerk. So I'm like, okay. Hey, I got that beer for you. And the guy. Maybe he thought I was getting it because he got a bar stool. I don't know why. But he's like, wow, thanks. Amazing. Like.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like I'm such a magnanimous Loyola fan, which is fine. I just didn't want to embarrass the bartender. So,
right.
So, anyway, I guess, you know, it's typical bar etiquette. If someone buys you a drink to, you know, reciprocate.
Yeah, you
right?
return the favor.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess, when I went to get the Canes and came back, Guinness guy got another beer and didn't think to ask if I wanted one. And that really upset Coach Van. Coach Van was like, that guy, shut up. He should have. I mean, he doesn't even know you and you bought him a beer. And I go, it's okay. Listen, the guy, it's Valentine's Day. He's at the game. Let's just let him enjoy his night. He got a free Guinness.
Yes. Yeah.
It's funny. I saw him after the game, after the win. He's like, hey, thanks again for the beer. And I go, hey, we're back at Bruno's.
Why don't you return?
Hey, you know, Bud.
Hey, quid pro quo. I bought you a beer. You buy me a beer.
But, you know, I've been taught, though, that if you buy someone, you never expect it. It's never expected. So that's anyway, true. It's just kind of it was just funny, though.
That is funny.
So, you know, we got to train some of these suburban Rambler fans about Chicago bar etiquette.
Nice.
But anyway, what was I going to say? I've been the recipient of many a beer, so
yes.
So don't get me wrong. Coach Van came to a game last year. He's a coach at one of the local high schools, and he said last year we were a mess. We weren't running sets. It didn't look like we had an offense.
Yes.
And he was complaining the whole time. We got off to that 14-point run, and he saw, you know, reverses. He saw all this stuff. He was yelling it out the whole time. I don't know what he was talking about. But he's like, hey, you guys are a lot better. I can tell. And even when we were down, he goes, yeah, you guys are playing a lot better. He was seeing defensive things.
Yes.
And there was a time when we were kind of struggling, and that's when he said, oh, they're getting out of their offense right now. He said they didn't have any ball movement on the last possession. This guy should have done this, and they should have reversed it out. So there were a couple times in the game where he was saying they're getting off. But then he said, no, they're so much improved over last year in terms of the way they're moving the ball, in terms of the way – like, there were times that we missed, and this happened in the Rhode Island game. There were times that we missed, but we got the shot we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, we really just missed.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, last year, we weren't getting the shot we wanted. We were chucking the ball at different points, and it was like, no, that wasn't what we were trying to do.
Right.
So he really appreciated the game, and unfortunately, he invited me to Northwestern Michigan tomorrow night, but I have to work. And I was like, oh my gosh, that would have been fun to see. But so I could have seen another game with him this week.
Yes.
But I'm on the outside looking in. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, that's just too bad.
I don't know how Michigan's doing this year. Are they good this year?
They're bad. They're horrible.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it's not the big deal. But I've never seen Michigan live, though. I mean, it would be kind of cool, right?
No, they're horrible. They're,
but I mean, just as a pedigree, just, right? I've never seen
as you were saying that, you know, you're chucking balls, there's not running offense. That's Michigan this year.
Okay,
and they're not a fun watch. I have not heard any good things about them, and although they are 116 in the net, so with an 8-18 record. That's why this net thing is stupid. They're 8-18 and yet are 116. What? I don't get it. I'm just.
Yeah. And there's no way an 8-18 team is going to get into the tournament.
Well, right. But yet they're. How? No. Like, you're 2-7 on the road, 5-8 at home. Like, no, you're not even in the 100s. Like, what are you doing? What are we doing?
Right.
Like,
no,
I don't know who they beat, but that's just like, that's horrible. But yet they're only 15 or 18 spots behind Loyola. Like, what?
Hey, let me say one more thing about the game. I'd love to get your take on what you saw, but Xavier Brown, he's pretty good.
Yeah. He's what they call a Philly special, right?
Yeah,
there.
No, that guy was good. And hats off to him. I mean, and is he a freshman?
I want to say he was there last year, but I could be completely off.
Okay,
I think he might be right. I there's a lot of young guards in the A-10 this year who come next year are going to be a problem. You know, Xavier Brown, one of them, the guy from UMass who went off again last night. The only reason I'm speaking a lot about that UMass VCU game, because I actually watched it because there wasn't anything else on, and it was just like, wow. But yeah, the A-10 is, I think, really stacked, and for next year as well. And so even with guys graduating and moving on, but yeah, Xavier Brown, he's good without a doubt.
Yeah, he is a freshman.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah,
and he's only going to get better.
And he went to Roman Catholic High School in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I heard. I don't know if it was you and I were talking, or you were one of my buddies or whatever. But yeah, he was the best player in Philly, and for him to go to St. Joe's was a big coup for them, and that he didn't go to Villanova or.
And his stepfather is on staff with with
St. Joe's.
Yeah. With St. Joe's. His stepfather is Justin Scott, who's the associate head coach.
Right.
So yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So these St. Joe's games aren't going to get easier.
No, they're not. They were undermanned. They were missing a couple guys. Their Isonico, their big center, as well as the guy that lit us, Lynn Greer the third, who kept hitting threes.
Oh, thank God he wasn't there.
Yeah, and they had three guys that played all 40 minutes. So, and another guy, Finkley, played 32. So it's like they were gassed at the end, and so it was just a matter of asserting the will. But yet they still fought right to the end, and it was a two possession game basically to close it out. But it was definitely one of those games. Of, you know, you said it against Davidson, you're not worried, but the thing that, you know, Xavier Brown, I think, you know, he definitely made you like, ooh, kind of scary. But seeing Reynolds go 4-for-15 and Cameron Brown go 3-for-12, it was like they're way inefficient. And although they were getting shots, they were not the shots they wanted. You could tell. I never felt nervous like they were going to lose that game, but it definitely was a little closer than it should have been.
Well, it definitely was cool. to see a team shoot 32% in our building. Remember last year where we were shooting, we were the ones shooting 32% and our, and our opponents were on fire shooting like 50%.
Yeah. That, yeah, that was definitely, it was truly a defensive battle, that, you know, tightened up, and it was good to see that we were able to do different things. I think this is something that, a telltale sign of, especially in the last few games, even this win streak, where it's like we're winning, you know, winning gritty is the term that you're starting to hear a lot. But just like we're winning differently. And so
I saw Coach Bailey after the game and I was a little starstruck because I you know, after he did the, I've been watching his speeches online, you know, the man of the elite. Come on,
fellas. Yeah, his voice. I feel like I need like a little organ in the background, like, you know, like,
No.
Let's get some church up in here.
No, that's not what I need. I need Coach Bailey to call me in the morning and be my life coach.
Fellas,
man of the elite. We're in the fight. We're on the field of battle. Yeah, I mean, that guy, I saw him, and I wanted to say a lot of things to him, but I kind of just froze up, and I just said, hey, it's not pretty, but it's gritty. That's, and he laughed. So yeah, that's cool. One thing about this game, we are definitely getting... there's more equity in the calls. And so our defensive style is not getting penalized, which I felt like it was last year multiple times. But we also are taking a lot of abuse. St. Joe's, I mean, they were mauling us on every possession.
Active hands.
Yeah, it looked like I don't know, I was trying to come up with a metaphor. It looked like a Philadelphia Eagles scrimmage game or something. I mean, there was just a lot of like hand checking and
yes.
I mean, there was a point at the end of the game where Braden gets fouled and it was one of these awkward. Sheldon got trapped and he barely gets the ball to Braden Norris and. I think Braden just get clocked in the mouth, like as you know.
Yeah.
And I think the guy apologized, but it was like, gosh, he was on the ground and he's, you know, he's like wiping his mouth,
his lip. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how that game was the whole game almost. I mean, again, I like the bodies that we have out there. I mean, I think Braden is stronger this year than ever. I think, obviously, Dame, Phil, Dez are tough guys. So I think we're built for this. But, man, the A-10 is rough. We thought the Valley was rough. This is rough.
Well, I think it definitely is on par with the Valley. But I think you're also what you're seeing is you have more athletic guys. And you're still going to get physical play, plus you're going to have an athleticism that's going to jump out of the rim. And I think that's the difference between the two leagues. And so you're going to have these, you know, battles where it's like, you got to have a level of physicality that can match the other team, if not overwhelm them, and then still be, and then also be athletic to get out in front of them. And so,
you see this, we had two wins this week and there were still turnovers that have to do with athleticism. I mean, I saw it in the Rhode Island game. I saw it in the St. Joe's game. We'll get a defensive stop, and then we'll try to do a run out or we'll do a quick pass. And before we can blink, the other guard has grabbed the ball. Like, you know, he sees Mwamba kind of half passing and jumps the lane like a cornerback jumping a route. Right. And all of a sudden they score again. I mean, this happened at the end of this Philly game, or I'm sorry, the end of the St. Joe's game.
Joe's game, right.
And it was like the worst case scenario. Mwamba gets the big rebound and then coughs up the ball right away and they give up a two or a three.
He tried to throw it out and he had a guy, but then it was like he did not see the defender.
Right. I mean, they like, closed so quickly.
You should have just held on to the ball for another second or two.
They closed so quickly. Yeah. And it happened in the Rhode Island game, too. There were a couple of these just, even though we were winning in that game, they were still jumping routes on some of these passes. So that, right. I mean, I do think that is the difference between the Valley. I did not see that kind of
athleticism.
These steals that just come out of nowhere. So,
yeah, I mean, and as you mentioned that, I was trying to figure out, I was like, why was this game as close as it was? Because the Ramblers did have 18 turnovers, which led to 16 points for St. Joe's. And the St. Joe's only had 8, which led to 4 points. So there's your difference of why it was way closer than it should have been. This should have been a 15-point win, but it wasn't because we got a little sloppy with the ball.
Yeah.
And again, it speaks to their athleticism.
Well, and also the way they were calling the game. I mean, we turned over the ball because we were getting mugged. Legitimately, yeah. There were times where it was like, how was that not a foul?
Right.
And so, yeah, we coughed up the ball after, you know, a guy sometimes coughs up a ball after he's been hit 3 times. right. So that definitely happened.
But again, the reason why we didn't lose this game, free throws. Ramblers were 10 for 10 in the second half. That is just, that's phenomenal.
Well, let's
overall 81%. Awesome to see.
Let's give out a couple of awards and jump to the Rhode Island game.
Let's do it. He's running away with it, but could say Dame. Man, it's like you could give it to a number of guys, but I'm gonna go.
You can't give it to Greg Dolan. No, can't give it to Greg. He did have one offensive rebound.
Yeah,
and an assist.
I'm gonna give it to Phil because he's had a lot of games where it was just kind of like, where's Phil? Where's Phil? And here was a game that his athleticism, his physicality brought the win. And he played really well. He played a lot of minutes. He didn't foul. Manimal starting to become Manimal again. And I think we said this was going to happen. We echoed Demetrius thought that, you know, they're going to key on Dez, they're going to key on, you know, Sheldon, and also they're going to forget, oh yeah, Phil Alston, he's good. 14 points, 8 rebounds, you know, so just, yeah, what a great win.
Yeah, when Phil has space, you know, he's tough to stop.
Yeah.
And when he has position, he's tough too. So even that, I think it might have been the Rhode Island game where, you know, I think he got 3 rebounds on one play.
Yeah.
But he's surrounded by 4 guys and he's still coming back down with the ball. I definitely think Phil is back. And again, I mean, these other coaches who are drawing up our team, they're like, oh, well, the way to beat the Ramblers is to shut down, you know, Braden Norris, you know, or something like, no. Then this guy's going to step up. Or, right. Hey, we really got to focus on Philip Alston, and then it's like this guy steps up. Or we got to take Dez out of it, right. And then Dame's in there. So it's like, yeah, I think it is pretty cool to just see where they're coming from. Was there a play of the game in this one?
I cannot recall a play of the game that jumps out at me. I did think it's somewhat... ironic, it might be the word, but you know, Braden went 1 for 4 and his only 3 was in that run, that 14-0 run, and then never made another one, made a couple of free throws at the end. But his game, I still fascinating. 4 rebounds, 5 points, 7 assists. Had a couple turnovers, but he had back-to-back games were, you know, big assists.
I'm starting to think at some point the Matt the Hammer Hawes Award in the future might be the Braden Norris Award because this guy, game this year, I just think has been great. Even when he's not making buckets, like he's just doing so much, still playing 39 minutes a game. I have so much trust when he has the ball. you know, I love him. I love him when he's bringing the ball up, or I love it when he has the ball at the end of the game. Like, I love when he gets fouled at the end of the game. Yeah. It's just one of my favorite things. It's like, I feel like it's like an instant bucket.
It's 2 points.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, we'll suspend that. I will make one last comment about
Rhode Island. There were a number of play of the games, but go ahead. What's your thought? Final thought on St. Joe's?
Final thought. I need to make a formal rambler apology to Kieran. I suggested a couple weeks ago that he try some different songs at the end of game situations. And with a 3-point lead and 9 seconds on the clock, he went to Thunderstruck by AC/DC, which
banger
basically put the entire Wolfpack to sleep. They were on their phones. They all sat down. It had no effect at all. And it was one of those extra, long timeouts where the officials were doing something. So we got into like the second verse, you know, I'm in Texas. Yeah, Texas. And we had some fun, but we had no fun at that timeout. There was no energy at all. So the next timeout that we had, he went back to I'm blue, do 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 do, which got a little more energy, and then he tried Crazy Train, which got the Band of Wolves involved.
Yes,
but none of the Wolf Pack.
None of the Wolf.
And then he went back to the song we do the tip off to. It's like the Russian disco song. Da 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 da. So he got that song, and that kind of got him going. So we got to do some work with these Wolf Packers. I don't know if we need to just say, hey, what song do you sing along with when you're working out at Hallis?
Well, you know what would be great is if we were able to go to a bar where you saw everyone, you know, jumping up and down. But, oh, wait, there's nothing like that around.
There's absolutely no. So I don't know. Because so now I'm starting to think we could play 90s songs like Jump Around or whatever, and it would have no effect because they're not on the wave.
You know what? I would disagree with that only because there is a cultural phenomenon with Wisconsin that using that song.
No,
everyone knows about it. And so it's like, so they don't know the actual song. They just know the horns.
At Loyola don't know about it. I'm telling you that song's going to flop. We need to find out. I don't know if it's Trippy Red or if it's Little Uzi Vert. I don't know who it is in the modern day TikTok. We got to find somebody because it,
right,
we need something. We got a 3-point lead with 9 seconds. We need energy at that timeout. So
yes, the next two games at home where there's a sellout. I looked today, Rambler tickets. There's only two left for the George Mason game, which I was shocked by. And then was looking at Dayton. I was like, you know, how much are the second tier, or what do they call it, the second reset or whatever, and the market, second market, and for the Dayton game. Low end of tickets for that game, $300. And that's up like 208, 209, you know, back of the row, $300. You want to be down by the court, you're upwards of $700 to $1,000.
Well, if any Rambler fans want to take me and we can sell my tickets and split the profits, I'm happy. So Steve Timble, if your wife's not available, feel free to reach out to the old dauber. I'll sit with you for Dayton, and we'll sell my tickets. We'll sell my tickets to some Dayton fan. So anyway, and I'm near Dayton section anyway. So don't worry, Rambler fans. It's not like I'm in a Rambler section. I'm way up in the corner. So
yes,
for that game. So I'm happy to get rid of those tickets. If a Dayton Flyer wants to give me $400 for them, I'm happy to it. Anyway, does that sound bad? No, we could recoup the whole season
business. That's what I told that to Julia. I was like, hey, I think Dauber could recoup his whole season, just some blue, you know, sky blue quarter zip guy wants to, you know,
right. Well, we gotta do a speed round here. We got 6 minutes to talk about
we do
the Rhode Island game. And
sixth win in a row, Rhode Island.
I mean, I don't think you can get past the fact that this was yet another. Let's see if I got. I got two different. You know,
game time. Game time.
Nice way to pull that out.
Dame time again,
man.
And on and a
from
big
the jump
on a big stage, boy. You know, and it's no secret now that they're running the offense through Dame when he's in. And if a team's not ready for it, boy, it's
sorry
it,
about you.
It really, it really is a shocker to some of these other teams.
I'm going to read this stat line. 27 minutes, 9 of 11 shooting, 3 of 3 from the foul line, one offensive rebound, 5 defensive rebounds, 4 fouls, 3 assists, 5 blocks, 3 steals, 21 points. And at 27 minutes, that's not even like, that's just a little over a half of a game. So, I mean, the efficiency of his game on Sunday was ridiculous. I saw some stat or something like his. I like math, but these new metrics that all these analytics, like, it's just too much. Like, I need someone to translate it to some extent. But the one where it has him at the top, where it was like 200, and everyone else was around like 70 or whatever. I don't remember what it was, but it was unbelievable the fact that he was only in the game for 27 minutes and had that much of an impact. Where, I mean, the play-by-play and the color guy for CBS Sports were just effusing praise left and right. And awesome, awesome to see.
Yeah, and by the way, I got a chance to listen to both the... I watched the full game when I got home from my trip, and I also listened to the game on Rambler Sports Network. And
hey, and way to get the tweet in and get the shout-out on the broadcast. Love it.
Yeah, so Scott Sudi shouted us out on the podcast, which is good. I think people think we're together all the time, like we were on the road trip together, even though it was me and my family. But he was like, and the two Ramblers checking in from the road, like we're on a road trip together. But it didn't matter. So it was cool to see, to listen. And for all you Rambler fans who were telling me to turn on the sound and turn off the sound and this and that, and I want to tell you, again, I made this point last week, but it's not a scarcity mentality. You don't have to pick one or the other. One, right. Just because Scott Sudikoff is good and Christian's good, it doesn't mean that CBS is bad. And vice versa. They were both, I really, again, that was a great CBS broadcast. And man, when they went to the half, Clark Kellogg is breaking down the game with Coach Jay Wright. I mean, this is real basketball, guys. This isn't like, you know, I mean, you know, it was cool. It's great to see us on a real network. And no offense. I mean, I know we're local and we have a small thing. I'm saying it's just cool to see us on that.
It's more of a national stage. Like, yeah. I can go to any Buffalo Wild Wings across the country and say, turn on CBS Sports channel.
Right.
I cannot ask them, can you turn on ESPN Plus? They're going to look at me like I got two heads.
Yeah. And not only that, but I mean, I ran into a Purdue fan on Sunday and he's like, Sunday night. And he's like, oh yeah, I watched some of the game. I'm like, what game? He goes, your game against Rhode Island. I'm like, He just turned on the TV and there we were. So it's like, and he's not even a fan. So.
Yeah. And then Manimal. Oh my gosh. He hit the button.
No, oh, I don't know. Where is he? Here he is. Hey,
that was okay. First half was all Dame. Second half was all Manimal. And his dunk, that was like, where has that been?
Yeah.
Unleash him these last five games.
Yeah, no.
Because that's the guy everyone is scared of.
That dunk was so great.
When he first step, he was around his guy and he elevated through the guy. That should have been an and one, but it wasn't. That was awesome.
Can I get one more tap in here? Dame Time. I'm not saying I coined it. I mean, it came from from Dame Lillard. But
yes,
go back in Twitter, people, to March 26th of 2023, almost a year ago.
Okay,
Dauber posted a Dame Time post with Dame Adelicone. So I know
that's even before he started playing.
It's when we signed him, the week we signed him, I posted a Dame Time tweet, which I reposted this week, and it got like 90 likes or something.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I'm not saying I came up with it. I'm just saying I was the first before the team started chanting it, before they started hitting their watches. I was the first Loyola fan
Thank you, Dauber.
All right.
We got to get some awards out of this game. What player of the game? Who's your hammer?
We cannot give the hammer to Dame Adelicune again.
I mean, no, he's running away
kinda,
with it.
It's kind of getting ridiculous. I mean, I keep seeing on Twitter, I don't know if it's Talking Blurs or whoever it is, you know, it's like every week, it's like Dame Adelicune.
It's back from the Chris Knight year where he kind of ran away with it. It was almost became the Knight Train Award.
Yeah, no, it can't. But I do want to highlight something before we get into these awards. Because I'm always looking to make some memes or GIFs or whatever.
Yes.
I'm always studying things that we post, either the cinematic highlights or even like slowly going through games to try to find clips and stuff. And I ended up watching the clip where Coach Drew walks into the locker room after the Rhode Island win. And then Dame walks in, and I don't know how they structure it. Why Dame came in second. I
think it's because he's walking into the locker room after he's talked to Sudi and CT.
That makes so much sense. So he's coming in just a little bit after Drew comes in.
Right.
He says a few words, and then Dame gets interviewed, and then he comes in. And when he walks in, the locker room explodes. Now, I just want to play this clip real quick. It's like they're like, you know, what time is it? When they all yelled out Dame Time and they're all hitting their watches.
Right.
I don't see a single guy who's not having
fun.
Like Patrick Mwamba, who's what, fifth year player.
Yeah.
I mean, he has got the watch. He's banging his wrist.
Yep.
I'm seeing all the coaches. I'm seeing Caleb Reese in this scene. I mean, they are loving this guy for one.
Yep.
And then they're loving the play. They're loving the whole vibe. I want to be in the locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's moving. And I know every team has politics and it has this and that. And, you know, maybe it's a little Pollyannish of me to look at it this way, but it's hard to manufacture this, the way these guys look. I mean, Dame has got the biggest smile.
You know what? I'm watching it again just now, and this is something we always want to look at the guys at the end of the bench. Because how are they invested? Because the guys at the front of the bench, they're playing. That's how they're invested. You know, and they're having fun. But it's just like in the faces that jump out to me is the guys that you said, the walk-on. So Caleb Reese, Smythe. But the two that jump out to me are the three. You said Mwamba, but Tom Welch.
Yeah, wait.
Ben Schweiger.
Wait, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this, and I'll tell you who jumps out at me. Okay, coach comes in. He's clapping. Welch is standing up. Everyone else is sitting down. Welch is standing up. Now, when Dame busts in, Drew has the biggest smile on his face. I see Will Bailey, wide-eyed, smiling. Phil, Jaden, Dolan, Tom's pointing at him. Trey, Mwamba. I don't see a single guy not smiling.
Yep.
Schweiger, full-voiced Dame time.
Look at Drew just getting, I mean, he's just all, yeah.
I mean, and then when they do the dog pound thing, the whole team is going nuts. I mean, it's moving. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think the takeaway that we've been saying all year is this team is building something, and it's building something that's beyond even just of non-con to now the conference, where it's like this is a team, and they're deep, and you can tell that they enjoy being around each other. And that speaks volumes, because it's like, even when you have your teams that are playing poorly, if they like being around each other, they love playing. And now they're winning. It just heightens it that much more.
The only person I don't see in this clip is Braden. I don't know where he is in the scene.
I think he's just off camera.
I don't know where he is in the scene, but I can't imagine he isn't loving this. I mean, this is... especially after last year, the way that Braden likes to compete, I'm sure he's loving winning. I'm sure this the way this team's coming together, the way that there's other options, that he doesn't have to have the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, pretty amazing. So I'm looking at it again.
I see him. I see him. He's on the far. If you're looking at the screen, he's on the far right.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's clapping. He's clapping when coach comes in. Yeah. No, he's clapping. Tom's already up.
Who's the one coach that when Dame comes in, he pushes him?
Oh, I don't know.
Tall white dude.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Figure out who that guy is.
I don't know. And there's another walk-on that I'm not very familiar with, who I've been seeing in the background.
Yes.
He's got kind of got a 5 o'clock shadow and...
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. Hold on. I'm pulling up the roster.
Yeah,
because I'm with you. I'm like, I
feel like 22
is his number.
I'm like, I see Miles in the background when they're doing the dog pound
Sam
thing.
Urasek. He's the guy from Napa, California. Bet you he knows.
I see the strength guy.
Yeah.
But I mean,
Chris Huey is the video coordinator. I don't know what's his bio.
Anyway, this is, I don't know, man. I want to be a part of this locker
room. He was on staff at St. John's as a grad assistant, or after serving as a grad assistant there as well. So, okay. That's who he is.
So thanks for.
So he took over for, He took over for somebody who left.
Crikey. I don't remember Crikey. Who's Crikey?
No, not Crikey. The video coordinator was a guy. The guy that was who had been from Drake had come over last year was the video coordinator last year, and then left. So it became an assistant coach. So he took over for that. Okay, sorry.
The only thing that we're missing, I really feel like the only thing we're missing from this season is some opponents that we just can't stand. Like I was excited we beat Rhode Island, but I don't know anything about Rhode Island.
Yeah. They're not a rival.
Yeah. And I was excited we beat St. Joe's, but only because we lost 3 games to them last year.
I think that is a team that is becoming a rival.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, my point is I don't have a lot invested in the rivalry.
Yeah, true.
And then St. Louis is a dumpster fire this year. I know we're gonna do some awards, but boy, how about St. Louis Twitter with just the burner account still posting, and then the the fan accounts are getting more and more
emboldened.
Well, just, yeah. I mean, they're talking about that it's not just that the coach, it's not a whisper campaign that the coach should be fired. They think, you know, right. It's very, this is why Two Ramblers thrives with a winning season. We love the fun. If it comes down to us losing and firing coaches and, yeah, you know, and changing the team around.
That's not, we didn't sign
up for that. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. We don't have a deep a bench when it comes to that kind of content. So, by the way, I haven't done the Lou the Dark Lord bit in about 2 months.
I know. I think that is the one byproduct of a winning season is Lou is shelved.
Yeah, I don't even have another bit. I need to come up with a winning bit.
I think we gotta have Jimmy P calling us back or
Jimmy P. You know what? I think you should do Jimmy P. I was listening back to our episode. You're Jimmy P. I'm kind of doing like a Pharrell on the bench, you know, that kind of thing. But you were getting the subtleties of that Mid-Atlantic accent.
Thank you. I need to practice on that. I need to workshop that.
I know you did work at Second City at one point. I can tell that your improv skills have definitely improved. Yeah. Yes. And yes. And okay. All right, let's give away some awards. You're giving away a heart. I'm sorry. It's the Matt the Hammer Hawes Award for Heart and Hustle. It's usually to a bench player, although this year sometimes our bench players are like scoring leaders. So it's kind of hard to the bench.
It would be very easy to give it to Dame once again.
Yes,
for his fantastic game against Rhode Island.
You've gone a little deeper.
We always like pointing out those unsung guys that are at the back end of the bench who come in for that 8 to 10 minutes and just like heart and hustle for those 8 minutes. And without a doubt, no one in Ramblerdom could not say Tom Welch is that guy for this game. He came in, he gave us 8 minutes. He was 3 of 3. Two of his buckets were these thunderous alley-oop dunks, which were, you know, harken back to even last year where he, you know, was a Sports Center top 10 and or back to the game, the tournament game in the Valley tournament against Bradley, and where he's, you know, bonking the head. It's like
getting the tech
and getting benched, you know, because of that. And, but this was a beautiful game. He had, he was 3 of 3. He had 2 offensive rebounds, 2 personal fouls. God bless you. Love you. Need, I'm all for, you know, Tom getting 5 fouls, if it works with the defense, but you know, come away with 6 points. And it's just the energy that comes off of him. And again, I will celebrate him and shout him out over and over again because you have seen him take this role of I'm going to play 8 minutes. Where last year I was a starter, this year I'm going to play 8 minutes. And then I'm going to be the guy on the bench who's waving the towel. I love that he said, hey, this is my role. This is how we can be successful as a team is me taking on this role and bringing in energy for these 8 minutes or energy on the bench. And you saw it at St. Joe's where there was a number of occasions where he was almost like a second coach. He's standing up on the end of the bench, you know, encouraging guys. I love that. I love those kind of teammates. So give me Tom Welch as my Hammer Hawes player of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to roll back the clock to St. Joseph's, but you got kind of a similar game from Patrick Mwamba in the last outing, you know, 2 for 2, 14 minutes, and 4 defensive rebounds, including those two big ones at the end. Now, I know one of them got turned over, but still, those defensive rebounds at the end of a game situation, what an embarrassment of riches, what a luxury for Coach Drew to have Patrick Mwamba in his pocket for the last 10 seconds of a game.
Yeah, I mean, this is now, I haven't looked back at the recaps or the box scores the last few games, but we are now consistently playing 11 guys. You know, granted, you know, the number 11, Greg Dolan, was number 11 use player used 11 was only for 5 minutes. But so that's a huge luxury where you can play somebody, 11 guys all play 5 minutes at least. I mean, that is going to pay huge dividends come Brooklyn and come a tournament.
Well, and we're seeing this even in the St. Joe's game, even, I mean, obviously the Rhode Island game, you know, there were times that were we down in the Rhode Island game? Let me see.
I think early. Okay. We were down.
Okay, so we only had the lead chains one time in that game. It was four times in the St. Joseph's game. But what I am seeing is a team that is playing a lot of players, deep bench, 40 minutes, and I'm seeing teams are playing, even when it's a close game, running out of gas at the end.
Yeah.
And either missing shots or, you know, if we look back to the UMass game where Phil is just pogoing for this defensive rebounds. We saw that in Rhodey too, right, where he's just, you know, obviously missing, but also getting his own rebound. The energy level,
right,
is just at a higher level, you know, for Phil at the end of the game. And just like a guy who, you know, just like seeing Barry Sanders in the fourth quarter. I mean, when Phil has rest and is, you know, has energy at the end of the game, he's a really tough cover, you know?
Yeah. And then to know that in these last two games in particular, St. Joe's and Rhode Island, where he had one personal foul in that Rhode Island game. Whereas I feel like in early on in the conference season, he's getting 3 to 4 fouls because of 2 offensive fouls, because he's lowering his shoulder. I really think he is learning how to use, I mean, he's efficiently using his body to get around guys, his speed and athleticism, rather than trying to go through guys, which he was trying to do too many times. And he's at least adjusted his game to not pick up those silly, you know, offensive fouls where he just is bumping into guys and they're falling flat.
Yeah, and he only had one personal foul against St. Joseph too, as I look.
Yeah, so I mean that is huge, because the more ability you have as a coach to keep your best player on the court for, you know, without having to take him out because he's in foul trouble. I mean, there was a number of games where it's like he's out and it's just like, oh man, he's out because of foul trouble. I mean,
I'd like to kind of maybe change the narrative about Phil being the best player. I'm not going to take anything away from Phil. He's been great. I mean, I love the guy. The jersey's hanging, you know, that you bought me is hanging as I look at it right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like he's right here. Here's the thing about Phil. He is just a matchup nightmare for certain teams. And there may be some teams where Phil kind of is neutralized by a big body or by a defensive scheme that just doesn't work as well with him.
George Mason, that's a trouble.
Right. But when we are in that mismatch, and I felt like, you know, Dame and Phil, even Tom Welch for those couple of possessions, that team, that Rhode Island team, just, it was a mismatch. There was something off with the way they play defense and the way our bigs played.
Right.
And when you got that, ride it.
Yeah, just ride it.
I mean, and
yeah, and you can't if he is on the bench because of just
taking, I agree.
You know, I agree. Needless fouls.
I agree.
That's the beauty of what is transpiring in these last few games. This momentum, this surge, this freight train, if you will, is coaches able to coach effectively of like, hey, this is all of what is available to me. If you're sitting on the bench because you got 2 fouls because you ran over some guy because you didn't recognize, hey, I need to play this differently, then I can't use you. You're useless. And I've always said this when it comes to coaching athletics is like, if I can't use you because you're either, you're not playing or you're injured, it's like, well then don't be on the bench. And that's it. And I think when you have the ability, it's like, hey, I'm going to take you in. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to, or 2 minutes to rest. And then you're going to come in like a house on fire. It's like, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's pick your poison with the Ramblers. Cause once I start talking about Phil, then I start thinking about Dez. There's a part of Dez's game that I think is a real difference maker this year that you don't know, you don't first think of is his threes.
Right.
I mean, he's had some dagger threes.
He did against St. Joe's, yeah.
And man, what a luxury to just have a guy who's going to give you 30 minutes, great defense, and then he can make his own shot. And then be one of these guys who can get the three. And, you know, we've obviously seen Jaden struggle since he came back from injury. And so to see Sheldon and Dez be able to pick up the slack with threes,
that's huge.
Great. It's just great. And you know, even Moamba got a beautiful three in this, I think it was in this game.
Yeah, the Rhode Island.
Yeah, he got a beautiful three. And then Sheldon, while he didn't shoot great from three, he had a couple of ones that were just great. I mean,
it was 3 of 9, which, you know,
the what? Three honestly, he got were important.
Exactly. Like, I'll take that. I'll Sheldon, you're allowed to shoot 9 to 10 times and you're going to make 3 to 4 of them. Fantastic. I mean, to think he's going to be 6 of 10 every week, it ain't going to happen, but give me 3 of 10, 3 of 9. I'll take that because it's forcing defenses to say, we're going to have to guard him because he's going to shoot because he does have the ability to go 6 of 10, but like, hey, we gotta watch out for him. You know, I was, again, was watching the UMass VCU game last night, and that Bamasil guy, he tried to go off. I mean, unbelievable. I don't understand how they shot this badly, but you know, he was 3 of 15.
He's streaky. I thought he was like, you know, an A-10 six man of the year when I saw him play us. And then now I'm like, no, this guy, there's a reason he's been in 5 schools in 4 years or whatever, or 4 schools in 5 years.
Right.
Hey, I'll say, and maybe we've already said this in this episode, I keep repeating myself, but I mean, the biggest difference between last year and this year, I feel like, is last year we'd have a possession and we would not get the shot we wanted. Right. And then it wasn't going in. In this Rhode Island game, I saw a number of times where we worked the ball around, got a beautiful look for someone, and maybe they didn't make it. There were a couple times Shell just missed, you know, great open looks. But what I'm happy about is between Dez and Shell, and hopefully Jaden gets right. Braden, of course, if we start getting good looks for these guys, their average is going to come up and we're going to have those big games.
Yeah. No, without a doubt.
They're not going to be shooting, you know, 30% from three. None of those guys are going to be shooting 30% from three. I think if they get good looks. So eventually we're going to have the 4 for 6 game or the 8 for 10 or the 8 for 12 kind of thing. And that's going to really turn into a 15-20 point lead. And it'd be great if that happened in the 3 games in Brooklyn, if we're the double bye.
Exactly. And honestly, I'd love to see it the last 5 games of the season just to really boost our scores. Cause looking at, you know, what's ahead of us, we play Mason this week this coming weekend. And they're ahead of us in the net. They're at 85. And then we go to Bonaventure. They're 69. And then we come back home for Dayton, who's 19. So it's like we go 3-0 in that, which would be a tall tale. This is the week. This is one that I know Drew circled at the beginning of the year. It's like, this is going to be our toughest week. And I would totally agree with that. Is we go 3-0 in this, everyone, the net issue is going to be taken out of the equation. Because this will be a huge, huge wins. across the board.
Well, let's pick a play of the game. Do you have a play of the game? I have a good idea, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Mine is, you know, you were talking about, you know, moving the ball. And I really do think you could say, I would love to say Tom Welch's, you know, alley-oops. But the one that I love watching the replay of it is Braden is driving. He sees Dolan slashing along the baseline. He pitches him the ball. Dolan's a little out of position, but instead of panicking, which I love, again, I love watching him play the fundamental, but he dishes out and it comes back, swings back around to Phil, who then makes a move and, you know, drives to the hoop and, you know, does manimal things. And just the overall, I think all five guys touched the ball, or at least four or five. And it was just like slashing, moving without the ball and, you know, movement, and then got the defense they wanted because of how they moved the ball around the whole court and then afforded Phil with the lane to slam it home.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great one. There was also that one in the first half. I'm trying to remember the sequence, but someone laid out on the floor for a ball. Was it Sheldon maybe?
Yeah.
And it turned into a fast break. Do you remember the sequence? I can't remember who was involved with it.
I can remember Sheldon going down and getting the ball.
And then it gets ahead.
Oh, it's JQ gets it out on the break and then dishes back to Phil, who then, you know, puts it up.
There you go. I was going to say another thing that I saw, and this is more of a kind of a run. You know, you talked about last week about flow. There was a point where they had a little heat. They were kind of popping a little bit, and Shell gets two threes, like I think in back-to-back possessions, or, you know, in the same couple minute sequence. And I just think it's tough when a team gets a little momentum and then and then your opponent gets six quick points. It's just got to take a little bit of like, wait, we just really started building something, and then they just immediately.
Yeah, they got a dunk to get down by two. And you're like, we're getting back in this. And all of a sudden, Sheldon comes down three, turnover, back to Sheldon three, and now you're down by eight.
Right. Like, that's exactly the sequence.
What the hell just happened? And that was us last year. That was like, oh, we're getting back in this game. Okay. And also we're down 8-10. We're like, what?
That was the sequence that I remember. So obviously there's great plays, but that was the sequence I remember going, okay, this is a point where Rhode Island is waking up to, oh, this is that team.
Right.
Like, oh, you know, Loyola, you know, I'm sure they're still looking at us kind of going, well, we haven't seen him this year yet. We played him last year and we beat him. And actually, did they beat us last year? They didn't.
Yes. Oh, they beat us at home.
Oh, I thought we beat them.
Nope. We lost by two.
Okay.
I looked it up.
So, and then I think when that happens, they're like, oh, this team's different this year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Dame starts going to school, putting on the professor jacket again.
With the pipe.
With the pipe. And so it's definitely cool. All right. So I want to make sure we're recording because I've had trouble the last couple of weeks, and we're recording. All right, nice. Sam, you wanted to look ahead.
I did.
The next couple weeks.
I wanted to look ahead just at from the A-10's perspective, because we all know who we play next in the next five games. But just realizing that now we're scoreboard watching, i.e. we were all watching last night, VCU losing to UMass. Huge loss for them, because now it takes them out of the equation of potentially getting the one seed, let alone the four seed. Looking ahead to the next couple days, as I scroll down, where's my scroll? Here we go. Tonight, Wednesday, Dayton is at George Mason. That's a big game because Dayton has struggled a little bit, although winning, but not looking really that efficient at times. And Mason has the ability, they play well at home, where they could cause havoc, especially with Keyshawn Hall. For Dayton. And then Richmond goes to Rhode Island. We'll see what that looks like. But then this weekend, St. Bonaventure is now going to be at UMass. That's, again, UMass is proving themselves to be, they're now in the five seed. And then Mason comes to Loyola. And then it looks like Dayton's off this weekend. They get the bye. And then St. Joe's is at VCU. That's another one. And then obviously the next week is huge. We're on Tuesday night, you know, we're at Bonaventure. Davidson's at Dayton. And then Richmond doesn't play until Wednesday. They're at St. Louis. They're gonna win that one. But then come Friday is Dayton at Loyola. So it's really spacing out where the games that are our opponents that we're close to, either Dayton or Richmond or VCU, are playing quality opponents as well. And as we have learned and we've come to realize, hey, there's no gimmies in the A-10. And so it's just like, this is going to come down to, I think, going to come down to the first, you know, March 1st, where Dayton and Loyola, I think, are going to be, that's going to be for the number one seed. And then on that Saturday, the second, VCU and Richmond play again. I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to come down to this, you know, last couple of weeks, last five games, which is, I think everyone in the A-10 would have liked. They just didn't think Loyola was going to be a part of that discussion.
Yeah. Well, and this reminds me a little bit of the Valley. We're neck and neck, you know, it reminds me of when we were neck and neck with Northern Iowa and
Drake,
and yeah. Somehow the last game of the season we lost and went from first to fourth place.
Yeah.
And so it feels really similar to that. And, you know, if we falter the next three games, it's win the tournament and get in. The NCAA is not going to give us a bid. Right. If we win the next couple games, maybe we beat Dayton head to head. Maybe we win a couple games in the tournament. Maybe there's a chance, but really the only way you secure a bye or not a bye, a bid to go to the
is win the tournament.
That's the only way. And that's the way it was in the Valley. We're used to that. Three games and you're in.
Yeah.
So if we're able to keep building our resume, and who knows, maybe we're a bubble team and we go against someone else and maybe our pedigree, you know, lines up well and is a good story. Maybe we slip in to a first four type of situation. I don't know how that works, but
that could be.
But I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, the first four in Dayton, that'd be fun.
But we're playing for a championship, man.
Championship, bro.
We need to win.
Yeah, I have predicted, or at least I'm thinking, squirrely things happen. We saw that with Davidson versus say Bonaventure over the weekend. We're just a three is not a three. You know, it's like, it's squirrely. And they're going to be hyped. That game's going to be hyped. It's just like, I think if we can squeak out a win there, that would be phenomenal. But you know, when the conference season started, I thought that might be a loss just because of the way Bonaventure's playing. And so it's like, there's still a potential where we're 13, you know, 14 wins in the A-10, which is far exceeded anyone's expectation. And, 14, 15 wins. Last year, I think VCU won the conference with like 15 wins. And so just crazy to think about. And then couple that with what's happened this last week with, you know, recruits are coming in. So that we thought Miles was the best recruit ever in Loyalist history. And then two guys this last week, you know, up that even more. So now we're getting international guys. And so it's just like, I think it's just really exciting to see where Loyola's at, you know, moving forward. And it's kind of like, okay, what's next? What's next for us? And so exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, we've been day one Drew fans. So
yeah.
You know,
I noticed this. I happen to have the TV on because we were watching. I just was CBS Sports on Saturday, and in both games they referenced Loyola Chicago, as they were kind of. I mean, we were not playing until the next day, but it, you know, the thing went up, and both play or color guys referenced the fact of just the job that Drew has done this year, and I really do think the. We keep winning. I don't see or foresee how he is not the coach of the year, because no one, all the, you know, media folks all picked, you know, Loyola to be 8, 9, 10 range. And for them to be number one, if not, you know, 2 or 3, I don't know how he's not the coach of the year, because everyone picked Dayton to be number one. And so it's like, okay, yeah, great for you. But, or Richmond, I could see, but you know, for Loyola to be in where they're at and not, you know, give Drew the, you know, coach of the year, I just really see is really a testament of like, this is an amazing coaching job this year.
Oh, he's coach of the year. I mean, I was listening to Three Bid League the other day, and they kind of were just talking about coaches, and he was the first name off their lips. Like, I mean, yeah. What are you going to give it to Anthony Grant? I don't see anybody else taking it from him. I mean, especially if he finishes strong,
right?
A few more wins here in the conference season, maybe one or two more of these games, you know, where we get a big win, and then, you know, maybe make some noise in the tournament,
right?
Or as they say on the Three Bid League, can you say it like them?
How would you like me
to tournament?
The tournament?
No, they don't say it like that.
Tournament.
I know, they say it strange.
The tournament?
Loyola makes
Loyola tournament. Makes the tournament.
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 Yeah.
Tournament.
Yeah, I can't do it. Anyway, so I digress.
Let's get out of here.
Hold on. I was talking about being day one for Drew.
Yes, and, day one for Drew.
And it's funny, people are still putting the mea culpas on Twitter now. And I saw one this last week. I don't remember who did it. It was a mea culpa. I was wrong. I just want to reiterate that I was wrong. And then someone said, what did you get called out or something, or what happened? And then a not named podcast was mentioned.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I know what podcast that was, because I don't think Podcast 63 put out a episode, and Bathtub Blurs has been off, I don't think Talking Blurs was calling out Twitter, but I know what podcast was riding with Drew and started collecting receipts. And I thought that was funny. An unnamed podcast.
You can say who called you out. We're not a problem. You know, we've forgiven you. Come back in. Come back to the
Big
fold.
Ten. Big Ten.
All grace.
Yeah, but it is going to be funny though. I'm tempted at the end of the year when Drew does get coach of the year, I am tempted to see these Twitter handles that are going to celebrate his coach of the year. And I just want to go back 6 months to fire Drew at the halftime of the Chicago State game. I want to put them together. Why do I care so much?
I don't know. Because we believed when everyone else didn't.
Oh, man. It's so funny. It's so funny. Guys, I love it. That's why you want to listen to this show.
Yes.
You know,
different perspective.
You know, who came up with Dame Time? I'm sorry. Who posted it first? I did. Who's been riding with Drew since day one? This podcast. And golly, if Drew wasn't the guy, we could have been wrong. It would be painful, and Loyola would be really struggling. Like, we would really start to question our identity, who we are.
Yes, agreed.
And so it's so great that to see this team come together. And hey, even if we kind of fall apart at the end here, I'm not saying we're going to, but let's say that this is the highlight of the season, this high mark.
Right.
great season. Oh, yeah. Love it. This is this is what I want. You used to say, I just want us to be on the court at the same time and, you know, belong there. This is even better than that. This isn't just belonging.
Without a doubt. No.
We're not middling in the A-10. We're leading the A-10.
No. Hold on a second. I want to make sure that I'm quoted correctly. I've never said that I just want to be on the court and belong. But it's like belong this, that we have desire and have a chance to win a game, even if because I remember those games where it's like everything, literally 100 things had to go in our favor for us to win.
Right.
Whereas it's now, we're on the court. We could win even if we don't have our best game. That's the feeling that I like having, you know, that our team is, you know, we're a good team. You know, we play defense, we shoot, and then there's four or five guys who could go off. And if they all go off together and we're scoring 100, fantastic. But that's not realistic. But two or three, you know, go off and it's like, hey, that's the team that I really enjoy. When a guy that barely sees us, Coach Van, walks in and says, that team is different because they're running offense. Even if they don't make it, they're getting the shot they want. Like, that's the team I want.
Well, I just loved watching the Rhode Island game. We're winning. You know, obviously Dame is putting on a clinic and Phil is being Phil. And then it's in the second half and, you know, they work the play around. Braden has an open three, shoots it. And then casually the announcers say, well, that's his first basket of the day.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh? Like, and right. And even last year, right. If Braden was off, like, yeah, I mean,
we're down by 10.
Yeah. So the idea that Braden gets 1 for 4 in a victory where we win by 10 points. I mean, that's amazing.
And eight assists.
Eight assists, of course. Yeah, we love that. But my point is, it's like Braden Norris, you'd say, is one of our best scorers, is a, you know, and here he was quiet for the whole game and a game that we were pretty much dominating for most of the game.
Yeah, I looked it up. They had a lead up until about the 10-minute mark of the first half and then never led after that.
So let's get out of here.
There it is.
Well, you've been listening to the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast.
Number one in the A-10.
Love it.
And boy, what a fun week to be a Rambler.
It is a good time to be a Rambler.
It is definitely fun. And it's always fun to do a podcast with the one and only, not the only Virginia Rambler, right? There's at least another one of you, right?
There's a couple of us.
Yeah. So for the VA Ramblers and the Chicago Ramblers, this is Dauber saying farewell and go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!